Okay, we're continuing in Bovavi on page Kuf Yud. And we are on second last paragraph, I believe. We're discussing the idea of continuing the idea with simplicity with a person. Although there are certain ways a person must act during a day. And we gave an example of the idea of pikhus, being very sharp and clever and crafty, that way of dealing with certain situations. So again, the idea is God created the soul very simple, very straight, and that's the inner dimension of the human being. Anything else that a person has to resort to, as situations may dictate, these are only garments that a person makes use of, but their essence is always to be simplistic. Tamim tiyah im Hashem Elokecha. Be wholesome with Hashem. So, we're at that second last paragraph. Kefishi skarna l'el, as we've mentioned earlier, kechol sha'adam tamim, to the degree that a person is tamim, that a person is wholesome, hu yoser im Hashem Elokecha, the more he is with Hashem your God. In other words, the pasuk of tamim tiya im Hashem Elokecha, you should be wholesome with your God, it's not just a directive, it's also a definition of how to be with Hashem. The more tamim you are, the more wholesome you are, the more you'll be with Hashem. Ukechol shu rachug matmimis, and to the degree that you are distant from this wholesomeness, kachas v'shalom lahefach, so God forbid the opposite will be, that you will not be with Hashem. Al menash sha'adam yuchal lahasig be'emes kirves Hashem v'shia tovak bekono. In order for a person to reach true levels of closeness to Hashem and to be connected to his Creator, hu chayiv lios b'mahalech shel, the person has to be going on the level of kama deposhid inish daite tvei malia, to the degree that the person's thinking is simple, it'll be a lot better. He'll be on higher levels. Nefesh yishara b'li chaspusim. It's a straight soul without, again, types of cleverness or craftiness. The real meaning of that is something that's cut jagged. That's chasuf, is to be cut jagged. In other words, unevenness. All right, that's. You think I know all these words? I don't know where to get these words from. But that's what in the dictionary is what it says. So it means a straight soul that's not uneven. Okay, so the simpler you are, the better it is. You'll see how he brings this all together pretty soon. Hapasuk Omer, what does it say in Ecclesiastes, in Koheles, where Shlomo Melech is telling us not to be fooled by what this world is all about? He says, Asher asa Elokim es Adam Yashar, God created man straight. Vehema bikshu cheshbonos rabim, but mankind, they are the ones who seek all kinds of calculations. God made us all very simple. But everyone, that's why I said the story yesterday, when the person asked, what age should I say I am? Right, just to say straight, say how old you are. Yeah, but you can always do better if you lie, right? You always can do better if you lie. Well, what do you say? Just tell the truth. Just tell the truth. Don't make calculations. Mitzad teva yetzira, the nature of the creation. HaKadosh Baruch Hu asas Adam yashar. Hashem made the person straight. Yesh bo yashrus, he has straightness. Lo urma upichus, it's not this cleverness and this cunning. That's what God made us. That's what Yisrael means. I always say, Yashar Kel, straight to God. So that's the way he made us. Our wholesome way is to be with Hashem. Now, Kuf Yud Aleph. Korech shepikeach hoya. So the famous Chazal that Rashi quotes. Korech was a pikeach. He was a clever fellow. Mara lishtus zu. What did he see to get involved in this foolishness to fight with Moshe Rabbeinu? I mean, it is a foolishness. Hashem publicly declared that Moshe is the prophet. Everybody heard it. It was not a question. And now he's challenging Moshe's authority. So it says, Eino hit also. His eyes fooled him. And then they go and explain what it was that fooled him. He saw that later on that he would have a descendant called Shmuel, Hanavi, who in many ways was greater than Moshe and Aaron put together. So and that was true. So his eyes fooled him. He says, how can he be wrong? He knows he's going to have a descendant like this. Now he didn't know that his children would do teshuva and they would be saved. He had a little certain degree of prophecy. A certain degree of prophecy. So his eyes fooled him. Now we look at that Chazal and we say, okay, it says he was a clever guy. So how could he be so foolish? So now the tzaddik here is telling us you've missed the point of the vort. If, you know, so the simple point, simple Rashi, right? So he's a smart guy. How can he do such a stupid thing? The answer is because he saw down the line he'd have great people, so it must have encouraged him to think he'd be a little bolder, right? But he said the most important part of the vort was the first two words. Karech pikeachoyah. He was clever. That's the vort. What? That's his downfall was his cleverness. Hapikchus holido asachet. It was the cleverness that caused the sin. Ilu haisaba temimus, if he was a simple guy, a wholesome guy, vikabolas ol navi Hashem, or whatever, and he would accept the yoke of a prophet, of Moshe Rabbeinu, shugodol mikol adoiris, he's greater than any generation, lohoya magia lechet bikozech, lachto bikozechet, he would never reach the point of making such a sin. Because if he was a wholesome guy, he'd know one thing. Hashem said Moshe is the prophet. You know what? No matter what I think, one thing is emes. The Rebbein Shlom said this. That's it. Something to argue. It's very rare things God told the whole world. Not a few things. Not a lot. Two dibros, right? And that Moshe is the prophet. Okay, that's all he ever really said to the entire world. So if he bothered to say that, you know, and this is after doing templates and after everything he did, he kind of proved himself. So guess what? Don't ask questions. You don't ask questions. Right? So, but he was the kind of guy always trying to, how can I outsmart? How can I, you know, so in other words, so Korach had a test. I mean, if we look at Korach, he did have a major challenge. Korach was when it came time to give out all the honors. Okay, let's look in the Rashi again to refresh our memory. It's almost been a year since Parshas Korach. So right in the beginning, let's just quote the Rashi here. It's not in the beginning. I'm not finding it right away. So Rashi says, "Ma ra Korach lachlok im Moshe? What did Korach see to argue with Moshe?" So it says, "Niskan on l'siyosa shel Elitzofan ben Uziel." He was jealous over the fact that Elitzofan, the son of Uziel, was appointed sheminohu Moshe nasi al bnei kos al pi adibur. He was anointed to be the nasi over the Levim according to what God has said. In other words, now Korach was a Levi. And Korach was an extremely intelligent fellow. He was a tzaddik. He was a tremendous person with tremendous koichas. He was extremely wealthy. He was extremely clever. He was extremely pious. He even had some prophecy. He really was one of the top guys around. That is the emes. That is the truth. Amar Korach, so Korach says, and guess when it was time to get an appointment to be the nasi over the tribe of Levi? He didn't get it. Samar Korach, Achi Abba Arba Hoyu. The brothers of my father were four. Shemer ubnei Kos. They go to the children of Kos, and there's four of them. Okay, so Amram, so Korach is the son of Yitzhar, Ben Kos. Now there's four brothers in that family of Kos. First you have Kos, then four sons, and then children afterwards. So Amram says, listen, the firstborn of Kos was Amram. Okay, so not Lashnei Bon of Gedul. Okay, so his son gets the two top jobs. Okay, makes sense, because he's the Bechor. Echad Melech Vechad Kohen Gadol. So who should get the next appointment? Lo ani, shouldn't it be me? Shani ben Yitzhar, I'm the son of Yitzhar. Shu Shein Amram, he's the second son of Amram. So according to order, I'm in the pecking order. V'umana nasi ben Achiv Akot Mikulam. He picks a nasi from the youngest of the four brothers. Elitzafon is the youngest of them all. Ben Uziel. Ah, that's the case. I'm going to argue on him, and I'm going to try to negate his words. So, in other words, Korach looks at something, and it just doesn't make sense. It doesn't make sense. He's willing to say, Moshe Nar, because obviously Amram was the Godel Ador. Amram was the leader of the Jewish people at that time. So it's understood that who should be the next generation of leaders should be the first sons of Amram. You know, it was Amram... was the son of Yitzhar. So you see there's greatness in that family. There is greatness in that. Kohos, Levi, that's the spiritual dynasty. Okay, everyone gets that. That's where Kohanim, that's where leaders come from. Okay, good. So Yitzhar is next, and then comes Amram. Okay, Amram was the big one. But who's next? Well, my father was the next one. So it's logically it should be me. So why didn't I get it? So if you go with Tamimus, if you go with simplicity, what does simplicity say? It says, listen, the Almighty is the one who got up and announced that Moshe and Aaron are the leaders. Finished. There's nothing to argue. God has decided. He's a little smarter than you. It's not that Moshe came down the mountain and said that God appointed him. No, Hashem, in front of everybody, said that Moshe is the leader. Right? And you listen to everything he says, please. So now, Moshe says something you don't like? So guess what? You think you're smart. Maybe you're not so smart. That's what a Tumim person says. Tumim says, listen, it's either God's integrity or your integrity. Okay, what does simplicity dictate? Who has more integrity? Okay? So, no. But he was clever. He always was analyzing, seeing the angle. And he says, one thing, I know I'm great. If I'm great, how could it be that I don't get? That's all. You go with what your logic tells you. So that's what the later Rashi says. So if Korach was such a pikeach, he was such a smart fellow, how could he make such a mistake? How could you go up against Moshe Rabbeinu? And that's a Rashi I gotta find. It's going later on, where Moshe says, you know, we'll make the test with the ketores, with the fire pans, and when the fire pans come, everybody knew, you know, only one's gonna survive that. Only one's going to survive it. And you're going up against Aaron now. Right? And it's not, let's think about this. One survives. Okay, you're going to have a bunch of people there, but one of them is Aaron, the tzaddik. Okay? Now, what do you think your odds are? Well, he says, you know what? I know I have a son. Shmuel's going to come out of me. There's no way I'm going to die. No way I'm going to die. See, my prophecy has made me clever. So I can be bold. He says, you fool. Can't you figure out that maybe your sons would do tshuva and you wouldn't, and they'll live and you'll die? Right? So it's this cleverness that Korach had, which he refuses to bend, and therefore, and that was the final undoing of Korach. If he would have just, now if you notice, and I always like to comment on this, this was no different than Pinchas. He, you know, we have two characters in relatively close parshas, Korach and Pinchas. Now we know, don't get into the details, but when they made Kohanim, there was a special ceremony as to who was made Kohanim. So Aaron was a Kohen, his four sons were made Kohanim. And then they were anointed, and that was it. And now anyone who would come out of these four sons would be Kohanim. Now the point is, Pinchas was a big tzaddik too, a big tzaddik, right? Pinchas ben Elazar ben Aaron HaKohen, But they said like this. Okay, Elazar, Samar, Nadav and Aviv, you far Kohanim. Now, there are children that you have, but we're not making them Kohanim. We're not making them Kohanim. Right? And then whoever else you give birth to later, they will become Kohanim. So Pichas could be scratching and says, I understand, I'm the son of Elazar, the son of Aaron. My grandfather's a Kohen, my father's a Kohen. They weren't inherently Kohanim, they were made Kohanim. Why didn't he make me a Kohen? It's not a good taina. I mean, it wasn't that Aaron was born a Kohen. God says, I'm making you a Kohen. What do you mean making? Whatever. We pour the oil on you and bring a korban. Oh, now you're a Kohen. And Elazar is also a Kohen. Now, Pinchas is also a tzaddik. No less of a tzaddik, and probably more of a tzaddik, than Korach. And he sort of says, I'm not a Kohen. What's going on over here? Why am I not a Kohen? So he had plenty to complain about. Right? And you can imagine, and this was all after. The Korach incident was after Pinchas sees he's not a Kohen. Now, wouldn't it, you know, would make a little sense that Pinchas should have joined Korach? Shouldn't? So you might tie, okay, he was a son of Aaron, whatever, but he had sour grapes that he could have acknowledged as well. So he doesn't do anything. He just sits and waits. He doesn't complain. He says, listen, the will of Hashem is for me. I can come back to that point. The will of Hashem is for me not to learn Torah. I don't learn Torah, right? If the will of Hashem is for me not to be a Kohen, it's not to be a Kohen. If the will of Hashem is for me not to be a Nasi, not to be a prince, it's the will of Hashem for me not to be a Nasi. You go with simplicity. That's it. Hashem doesn't want. That's all. I thought I'm great. I really want to. And again, you got to realize that certainly Korach, he felt at a certain level, and Pinchas as well, that of course I want to be a leader because it'll be good for the Jewish people for me to be a leader. And he wasn't wrong insofar as that he had a lot of talent. He had a lot of talent. But you know what the problem with Korach was, though? He wasn't Tamim. He wasn't simplistic. He wasn't wholesome. Korach had every mila in the book. Every good characteristic you could want in the book, except for being wholesome. And he was clever. So when you're clever, what are you going to always do? You're going to second guess everybody, anything, including the Almighty. That's what clever people do. Because they're clever. And if they're always thinking, and if they're thinking, then their thinking is worth something. That will lead to being a balgaivan, arrogant, etc., etc. So Korach falls into that trap. Pinchas, on the other hand, right? He's the one that God makes a bris shalom with, a covenant of peace. Pinchas says, "Listen, if it's the will of Hashem not for me to be a kohen, not, so I won't be." And you know what? All the spiritual opportunities that are involved in being a kohen, I won't be. That's the rush of Hashem, and I'll just be a regular Joe. Okay, so that's how it went for a little while. Then we had the whole story with Zimri and this whole immoral revolution that went on in the Jewish camp at the end of Parshas Balak. And then Pinchas sees this is a terrible Chil Hashem, and he asks Moshe Rabbeinu, Moshe, what are you doing? And again, he didn't go on his own. He says, Moshe, what's happening? Didn't you teach us that people like this should be killed? And he doesn't take the law into his own hands. You know, and said, Moshe says, well, if you can do that, then go ahead and do it. And then he killed Zimri and Cosby. And then Hashem says, now you're going to be a Kohen. Why are you going to be a Kohen now? Because you go with Tamimus. In other words, I was testing you. I was testing you all along to see how wholesome you are. Because I have better greatness for you than anybody else in the whole crowd. Because we know, Chazal tell us, Pinchas hu Eliyahu. Pinchas is Elijah. That's our tradition. Pinchas never died. He became Eliyahu. And Eliyahu means the bringing of the Mashiach. And you know what? The Mashiach only comes with tamimus. Mashiach is not going to come with cleverness. That's what Gemara says. When's Mashiach going to come? When we give up hope on Mashiach coming. What does it mean we give up hope? We're Mashiach Das. It's not give up hope. Not give up hope. Mashiach Das means, a good English translation is, you lose your train of thought of Mashiach. So in the Shirei Das, they explain like this.
Lack of focus.
What?
Lack of focus.
You let yourself be distracted from the coming of the Mashiach. What does that mean? Isn't there a mitzvah to want the Mashiach to come every day? The answer is, We want the Mashiach to come every day, but we're not the ones who thinks we can force it to come. But you got to give up hope that you're going to force the issue. We're going to make Mashiach come when it comes. You know, it's going to come when Hashem wants it to come. You know, all you got to do is be a good Jew. You be a good Jew. Do what the Torah says. Care about other Jews. Do your best. Mashiach will come when God wants Mashiach to come. Stop forcing the issue. And you had all kinds of stories where great Hasidic rabbis said, we're going to bring the Mashiach. And they all failed. They all failed. Now, I'm sure they had good intentions and everything else. And, you know, we try to make calculations when the Mashiach is going to come and this and that. So, you know, stop it. Don't do it. They tried it many times before. They tried to make the calculations when we're going to get out of the Egyptian Gaulus. We all messed up on the calculations. And that's even when God told us what the number was going to be. And they messed up on the calculations when the second base of Minas was going to be rebuilt. So stop making calculations. Don't be so clever. You know what? Just do what the situation dictates. You're in Gaulus now. Live in Gaulus the way you're supposed to live in Gaulus. Stop forcing the issue. Because you just have to do one thing. Do what it says in my Torah. Live the way I want you to live. Don't be so clever. And I'll bring Mashiach when it's time for Mashiach. You should feel bad that we don't have Mashiach. You should understand you're missing something at Mashiach's here. And we're in Gaulus and this is not a good state to be in. And you have to all be aware of all those things. And cry every day that there is no Beis HaMikdash. Everything like that. But one thing is, don't force me to bring Mashiach. Don't be so smart. Because I know when it's the time and you don't. And that is who's going to bring the Mashiach. Eliyahu, who Pinchas. But Pinchas says, you know, you can't be so clever. You can't be so clever. Right? And that's the key. That's the key to Mashiach. That's the key to being a Yid. So here you see the counterpoint between Korach and Pinchas. And that was the problem. Pinchas, Pikeach Hoya, he was a Pikeach. That's the problem. We're all a little bit too clever for ourselves. Right? So that's the point. That's what he's saying. God created us straight, and we make all kinds of calculations. And meaning to say, most of our averis is because of our calculations. If we just say, this is what Hashem wants, finished. On a simple level, you have a test in business, and in business they say, listen, you're gonna have to really, you know, triple your hours from now on if you wanna make the same parnasa. You know, you had a 9-to-5 job. You say, no, times are tough. Now you got to be here 7 o'clock every morning. You're not going to come home until 8 o'clock at night, and you'll make the same money. In other words, and you have a good job. It's a good job. You're making $200,000 a year. It's a good job. And they say, no, the hours are going up now, and weekends. So if you're a frum Jew, you say, sorry, I quit. It's constructive dismissal. What are you talking about? How you get into the parnasa? You know what? God does not want me to be an Eved Hashem this way. It just can't be. It can't be that I should be a slave in Mitzrayim for this parnasa. My parnasa has been decided on Rosh Hashanah. Whatever it's going to be, but God does not want me to work 70 hours a week. He does not want that. And then I can't learn Torah anymore. I can't daven in the minyan anymore. It's not what Hashem wants. It's not what Hashem wants. God made you straight. So what is He telling you? Quit the job. That's it. But what's good? Don't think so. Stop thinking. You know one thing, the Torah says you have to be learning Torah. You have to be davening in a minyan. You can't be working. I don't want you working all day long. So you have to say, okay, what's Hashem telling me? This is not the job anymore. That's all He's saying. Not He's telling you, I don't daven in a minyan anymore. I don't learn Torah anymore. So that's, we get too clever. Ah, what about Parnasa? You're too clever. Stop being so clever. Who's in charge of Parnasa? So that's how it plays itself out in life. Okay, Leonard's hand was up, and I think also Sammy's. So whoever wants.
Well, this idea that he says it's so simple, but it's not so simple. He calls it simple, it's so simple that it's hard. It's not being simple, but it's
wholesome. Tmimus comes from tam, tmimus. Like a korban has to be a tamim, without a blemish. In other words, it's exactly the way to be, and not more. Hashem says this? Yes, fine. That's right. You don't make so many calculations. No, I didn't say anywhere. Did I say anywhere easy? Did I say the word easy?
Simple.
Simple means without calculations. yashur, straight, without cheshbonis, without calculate. So okay, bitachon isn't easy, you know, but it's easy to do, not easy to feel. You know, it's very simple. You know, just do what Hashem says. Finished. That's all. You can't lose. Can't lose. The problem is we calculate. We say, but what's going to be? What's going to be this? What's going to be that? Stop worrying what's going to be. Just do what Hashem says. He already put enough promises in the Torah. He's going to take care of you. No one's going to starve to death by following the Torah. It doesn't happen. Unless it's a special gzeirah on Klal Yisrael. He makes a holocaust. Okay, certain things you can't get out of. That's it. Hashem decides. And even then, he has to be with tmimis. Even with a holocaust, has to be tmimis. And when you see God's making a holocaust, so he wants me to go. That's all. There's a time when God says, you know what? You have to die now. Okay, I'm not going to fight with you. You know, they're leading us to the gas chambers. We're going to take out a German now. It's time for me to focus. I had to give up my life to Hashem the way it's supposed to be done. Not saying there aren't times you fight. Torah has mitzvahs in the Torah to go to Muhammad. You have to know when to read the signs. You have to know to understand what a Kodesh Baruch Hu is saying and when he's saying. Sometimes, and the problem is we're always in calculating mode. So then for us to go out of calculating mode into tmimis mode is hard, Leonard. But when a child is raised to be wholesome, and he always knows to be wholesome, then he doesn't calculate. And that's the problem. As adults, we already teach our children to be calculating. You know, we teach them to distort the truth a little bit, and this and that, and if a kid would see a parent with tmimis, the kid would grow up with tmimis. No question about it. So it may be hard for the calculating mind, Leonard, but it's simple. Listen, let's give another example. Weight control is a very simple thing, isn't it, Leonard? Weight control? Very simple, very simple. Follow the rules. Don't overeat and exercise. Finished. Isn't it simple? You don't have to be a genius. Believe me, a lot of people who have good figures are not geniuses. You know, they're not geniuses, you know. There are, but I'm saying it's not a criteria. It's not a criteria that you have to be a genius. Just have to be simple. There are simple rules. Eat 3 balanced meals. Don't eat too many carbs. Have a balanced meal. Anybody can give you the diet plan. It's very simple. Just follow it, and you will be a healthy weight. Finished. You know, I don't know. I'm not a scientist. I don't know which chemical. You don't have to know nothing. Start off with a healthy breakfast, lunch, and supper. Don't nash. Don't eat potato chips at 12 o'clock at night. Go exercise every day. Go for a walk for 45 minutes. You're fine. You're done. It's simple. We start calculating. No, what if I just cheat one time? And then what if I this? And you know, I didn't eat breakfast, so maybe I could pick out at lunch. And after all, you know, and listen, I had a hard day at work, and there's so much stress. And if I don't eat my ice cream now, I'm going to be stressed out. I'm going to hit my wife, so I don't want to hit my wife. So I want to be healthy. You know, a hungry husband is an angry husband. We know that, right? You know, we all know that a wife never talks to a husband on anything at all unless he's had dinner first. That's the rule. And you know, and diets make me grouchy and grumpy and this and that, and I'm already abusing the kids. So of course it's not worth the diet at all. Let me get off the diet. You know, and that's the calculations. But it's simple. It's so simple. Just do it. Just follow it. But I want, you know, I've got drives, I got this. So that breaks the simplicity. You see. Yeah, Sammy?
2 points.
Yes.
Cleverness is one of them.
Yes, yes.
The problem probably is that the cleverness is being used the wrong way. It's not that we're clever, but we're using it the wrong way. So to just say don't be clever, it's not the solution.
So that's okay, I agree. So the point that he's saying, and that's what he started off with, he says you're supposed to use these tools once your tmimus has directed you to use them. In other words, you use them, they're a garment, they're not who you are. Even the most wholesome person, let's go back to Yaakov. Yaakov is called the Ish Tam. He's the quintessential simple Jew. Right? He's the quintessential simple Jew. Yet, he had to do incredibly clever things. So how does it work? It goes very simple. Your mother calls you in. Yaakov, you know I love you. Yes. You know I'm a tzaddik. Yes. You know that I'm close to God. Yes. Okay, I'm telling you, dress up like your brother. It's a simple instruction. Why is it simple? Because your mother told you to do it. It's not Sestam any mother, it's a tzaddikus. If she tells you to do something, you know it's the emes. We're not talking about today's mothers who are all into Mishigasim. We don't know if our mother, she may mean well, but is meaning it, but well is coming out of her mouth. You know, we have mothers say, yeah, you know, give up your Torah, leave yeshiva, make a business. Those mothers aren't simple mothers. Okay? But when Rivka talks to Yaakov, Yaakov knows whatever she's telling me is the emes. Right? And we're not talking about any woman now. We're talking about a tzaddikus, a mother of the Jewish people. So one thing, when your mother calls you in, such a mother calls you in, simplicity says, listen. Now, Yaakov struggles with this. Yaakov is the simple man. So she says, dress up like Esau and go in and get the work. She says, how can I do this? Perhaps my father will feel me. He will curse me and I'll bring all kinds of problems. Yaakov, you're making calculations now. Don't make so many calculations. I told you to do it. Just do it. What does that mean? I want you to walk in a clever way. I want you to employ the tool of cleverness after simplicity has told you that this is the way to act. Yeah? And therefore he says, okay, the Tamimus is saying, you go with what the reality is. The reality is your brother's a Russia. You're a tzaddik. Your father cannot give Ace of this bracha. This will be the end of the Jewish people. You have to get the bracha. That's it. That's the simple truth. Simple truth. How am I going to get it? You have to be a little clever in how you're going to get it. But the cleverness is only used after the simplicity has been assured. So yeah, in other words, the simplicity is, but still he might catch me, and stop making calculations. You just do, you have your shlichus now. I'm giving you a shlichus, I'm giving you your messenger, this is the avodas Hashem you have to do. And simplicity says, I go with Hashem. That's all. I'm going with Hashem. This is the ratzon Hashem, this is what I gotta do. I have to be a little clever in doing it, but that's the ratzon Hashem, is that I should act cleverly. And then that becomes his life for quite a while now. Then he has to go to Lavan. Then he is sent to go to Lavan's house. Again, his father says, okay, Yaakov, I want you to go to Lavan's house. Lavan's house? He'd think to say, Abba, you know whose house are you saying? This is the worst place. This is not a good place for a nice Jewish boy to grow up. Simplicity says, your father's a tzaddik. Your father would never tell you anything bad. Just do it. So he goes. But he understands and go and learn how to act clever when you'll need to be an expert in cleverness. When simplicity dictates you must be clever. So that's the difference. You employ the cleverness from the dictates of simplicity. The problem is when we reverse it, when we come to the plate clever. So now everything has to fit our clever ideas. Then we even think we're smarter than HaKadosh Baruch Hu, and then we don't listen to what we're supposed to do. It's a lavush. It's a garment. Your clothes, Sam, don't define who you are, I hope. You decide which clothes you put on in the morning, right? Now there's you don't go around in a track suit all day long. You don't go around in a track suit to daven. Why? Because simplicity says, you're talking to Hashem, you have to be dressed appropriately. So when you got up this morning, you said, okay, simplicity dictates, I put on a jacket. Now, this afternoon, you may want to go to the club. So simplicity says you don't exercise in a jacket. No, you're going to have to put on a tracksuit to work out. It doesn't pass wearing a tracksuit. No, in the club, when you're exercising and sweating, you put on a tracksuit. Simplicity dictates you put on a tracksuit. So simplicity will dictate throughout the day what garment you put on. Okay, so there'll be a time I have to put on the garment of cleverness. And I'm doing it because that's the simplistic instruction that God is giving me to do. And when do you got to be the most clever? When do we have to always employ cleverness? When dealing with the Yetzer Hara. When dealing with the Yetzer Hara, then we use every cleverness that we have because he's the most clever of all. So we have to always be clever. And the Yetzer Hara says, you know what? you're not feeling so good this morning, don't go to shul. Oh, so simplistic guy. You can employ simplicity in the wrong place too. Okay? He said I shouldn't go. I guess he's right. He said, what are you talking about? Why do you want me not to go? Oh, I'm your friend. You're not my friend. You're my enemy. You want to destroy me. The Chovas Lavavos says, you want to destroy me. So whatever you say, I'm not going to listen. Forget it. I'm going to shul. Yeah, you know, you know the Chofetz Chaim says, you know, you tell me not to get up so early to work, how come you're up working so early? Yeah. It's clever. You have to be clever. Is it clever to learn what the Yetzer Hara? Some wonderful ideas over here. This is a whole class right here. Right? Let's continue. Kechal Sha'adam Lo Zacha. To the degree that a person has not merited to be wholesome. Hu Nichlal, he's incorporated within his lifestyle, with what? They seek many calculations. He distances himself from straightness and simplicity. The Baal Shem Tov expressed the following concept. After all the concepts that he was able to understand, the Baal Shem was able to understand the deepest things of reality. He says, after all the genius concepts and the hidden mysteries and the Kabbalah and everything that I know, and we can understand they weren't little things. Mm-hmm. He says, now that I know all this and I'm a genius in Kabbalah and everything, Ikra Avaitis, he said, you know what my main service now is, Haisa? Bebechinas Tzadik Bemunasa Yichya. As the prophet says, King David said, Tzadik b'emunah seyicha. A tzadik lives with his emunah. A tzadik lives with emunah. That's it. You go with your emunah. You go with your simplicity. That's my. And he knows all the Kabbalistic this and all the Kabbalistic that's and all these things. He said, you know what? And there's another great tzadik. I forgot which Rebbe. He wrote volumes on the Siddur. Volumes on the Siddur. With every mystical understanding that there was. I don't remember. Anyway.
Moshe Emden.
No. So he says, and so what do you think about when you daven? When I think about it, I daven like a little baby. I just say the words. No, but it's was one Hasidish Rebbe, I don't remember. But don't have to waste brain cells trying to remember. It's not going to, just trying to show how clever we are now. It doesn't matter. But the idea is, I just daven like a baby. I know all this other stuff, and it's important to know, but when I come to Hashem, I talk to him like a little child. That's all. So, Gemara Rosh Hashanah says, Lama Toikim Rosh Hashanah. Why do we blow the shofar on Rosh Hashanah? So, whatever. So, Lama Toikim. Why do you blow? Rachmana Amatiku. The Torah says blow. That's why you blow on Rosh Hashanah. What is... I don't. There's 10 reasons that the Sfarim write why we blow the shofar and Rosh Hashanah. It's like a king. When you coordinate a king, you do this and this and that to arouse you, to wake you up. There's 10 reasons to blow the shofar. Why do you blow the shofar? Hashem told you to blow the shofar. Finished. Hachesh menachi pashut. The simplest calculation. Sitzarach lasos b'chol dover dover. That you do, that you need to do in everything. Huchesh ben echot l'vlad. There's only one cheshben. Ma HaKadosh Baruch Hu Roitza. What does God want? Finished. Lo Cheshbon Shel Tamim, Lo Cheshbon Shel Havana. There's no calculations of reasons and understanding. Rak Cheshbon Shel Ma Hashem Lokecha Shel Mimach. Only one calculation. What is it that Hashem wants from you? Zeh HaCheshbon HaYochid Sherei Lo Adam Lasos. That's the only Cheshbon person has to do. Now that doesn't mean to say there were great rabbis who wrote all kinds of books explaining the reasons for the mitzvahs. So you're going to say, so why do I got to know all the reasons Hashem tells me to do it? So there's a reason for that. The reason is, why did God put taste in food? Why did God put taste in food? For one reason. To encourage you to eat. To encourage you to eat. And because He loves you. If you're ready eating, you might as well enjoy it. You might as well enjoy it and feel His love more. But by law, he doesn't have to do it. Listen, I make cardboard, give you vitamins. I give dirt nutrients. Right? He could do that. But why? But you know what? You're never going to be in the mood to eat. You're never going to want to eat. And it's not going to... So God wants to show you, you know, besides the nutrients, I'm even going to make it tasty. So you have more to thank me for. So the rabbi said, you know, Yidden are doing the mitzvahs, but why can't they enjoy the mitzvahs while they're doing it also? Let them taste the mitzvahs. That's why, you know, they say, any sefer is written with the reasons of the mitzvahs. It's not called, the Hebrew word for reason is called ta'am. Ta'amei mitzvot. So ta'am does not mean reason. Ta'am means taste. It's the taste of mitzvahs. When we give you a reason, so you can taste the mitzvah. You can enjoy the mitzvah while you're doing it. Why do you blow the shofar? I'll give you 10 reasons. So when you blow it, you taste it. It tastes good. But you know, but at the end of the day, why are you doing it? Because Hashem says so. So let's say, for example, this mitzvah doesn't taste so good today. Today the mitzvah doesn't taste so good today. For whatever reason. You know? So guess what? You still gotta do it. You can't never get past the real reason we do it. The real reason we do it is because Hashem said so. Finished. That's all. Why? Because I said so. But why should I do what you say so? Because I care for you. I love you. I would never tell you anything that's not good for you. I would only tell you something that's good for you. That's all. That's enough. That's more than enough. But I don't see how it's good for me. That's fine. You're not so smart, but I know what's good for you. Just do it. Daddy, why should I learn ABC? It's boring. It's nothing. Trust me. It's going to come in handy. It's going to come in handy if you'd be a literate person. I don't know. I don't know what literate means. All I know is I like to play. I want to watch TV and play Game Boy. That's making me happy. I'm telling you, learn the ABCs. Why? Because one day you can read. I don't want to read. I don't need to read. See these big books? You can read it. I'm not interested. I said do it anyway. Finish. If you don't, I'll smack you. You know, I'll punish you. Whatever. Now do it. You know, after all the nice reasons. At the end of the day, you better read and that's all. Okay, and then 20 years later, he thanks his father for teaching him how to read because he's an idiot. The little kid doesn't know anything. Okay, you try to make it tasty, and you make it with pictures with Curious George, and you know, Dan and Sam ran down the fan, right? You know, all these things. Oh, it's easy, it's fun, this and that. You know, okay, we try to bribe them. But at the end of the day, you don't need any reasons. Same thing, you blow the shofar, you know what it does for you? You know what it helps? How it helps you? Just do it. That's the only cheshbon you gotta make. And that's not a simple person, not a stupid person that does these things. It's a person who is extremely intelligent to know that simplicity is the greatest quality you have to have. Alright, we'll continue, Mitzvah Hashem, tomorrow.